ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fans of all ages, it's your favorite time of the week. You might need to brace yourself and grab a cold beverage. Mark and Scott are ready to drop some college football betting knowledge on your ass. The boys are back and ready to help you find some angles to beat your book, impress your friends, and get you ready to enjoy the greatest sport on the planet. So sit back and enjoy, because we're damn happy to have you. Welcome to the Crazy Sheet.
Scotty, how the hell are you, brother? We are back at it, the greatest game of the year, the Army-Navy game. Are you getting ready for this one? You're not going this year, right?
No, I will watch this game. Well, I will watch it in the afternoon from the deer stand. me and Chase are going to go deer hunting, especially since I found out my daughter has the flu about 10 minutes ago. And I'm getting the hell out of here before I get it.
Oh, man. So, Scotty, championship weekend, what was your takeaways? I mean, I don't know. Interesting games. Someone's still going to have to explain to me Sonny Dykes going for it on fourth and goal from the 1 yard line. I don't like the play call. I don't like why you don't kick it there. And obviously they can finish as the second best team in the Big 12, but they did get a bowl bid to go play in the college football playoff championship, but it sucks because it cost me a 12-1 ticket I had on TCU to fucking win the Big 12. So anyway, I'm kind of torn about that one, if you can't tell.
So you were pissed at Sonny.
Yeah.
I got several things to say on this. First, I get him going for it. I really do. I don't. The way their defense have been playing the last quarter, I probably kick a field goal. But I sure as hell, as a spread team, don't get in the damn eye and hand it to the tailback. They got Mark. They got zero push, and zero push is kind. They actually got pushed backwards on that fourth down call. They'd have been better off running belly. Just hand it to the damn fullback. He got farther up the field than anybody else. I mean, if they'd run belly on third down, they win it. But, I mean, he gets in. But the play calling's stupid. How do you not put Duggan on the corner? You should have run a quarterback sneak if you were going to do it on third down. And then get Duggan out where he can do something. I mean, they hadn't had an answer for him the whole fourth quarter. That was just – I mean, that – was overthinking it. I don't understand. I know there's so many guys that are, oh, well, yeah, why are you in shotgun? Because that's all your ass knows how to run.
Oh,
I mean, if that's all you can do, that's all you can do. You know, I don't understand getting in the eye. Like I said, I probably would have kicked a field goal when I didn't get it on third down because live to fight another day. Because if you don't score, the game's over. I mean, they just got to pretty much blow it. And, you know, this isn't a team that's going to blow it. I just don't understand running power football against a power team when you're the less physical of the two teams.
Yeah, I agree. It was an odd finish, but congratulations to TCU on getting the bid. We'll talk more about that as we get going. I was at the SEC championship. Georgia won.
You got to see the G-Dog?
Ooh, boy. I'll tell you what, LSU did a pretty good job coming out, getting started. I wasn't sure Jalen Daniels was going to play. Kid gave it all he had, turned his ankle. They pulled him out. Nussmeier came in. Nussmeier did a pretty good job, but Georgia.
Playing all over the field.
Yeah, Georgia to me looked like they knew they had won the game the second they walked out there. You know, their first touchdown was on the blocked field goal where LSU didn't realize it was not a dead ball and ran it all the way back. And that just kind of was like, oh, here we go. And I actually went in and live bet after that point. And took some 17.5, and just realizing how good Georgia was. But in person, holy ding-dong, are they impressive. Bowers, to me, is the best player in the country. He is so electric once he's got the ball, and he seems like he is always open. And then Washington is that other tight end.
That's because he is.
Golly, man. Washington is the other tight end. Just seals the corner so well, and he's impossible to cover. I mean, he is a gigantic human being. LSU, they kind of negated any pass rush they had against those guys because they're not taking seven-step drops. It was more quick hits. Guys are open. And so it really just took what LSU's defense could do away from them. But Georgia's good. I will be excited to watch the Georgia-Michigan National Championship. I think that's what we're going to get, as Michigan took care of business and beat Purdue 43-22 last week. Purdue put up all the fight they had through the first half. Michigan made some adjustments, and they're just too dang physical and just ran those guys out. And so I think the playoff committee got it right as far as the four teams I would have taken.
Yeah, I definitely think they got it right. I mean, who the hell are you going to put in? I mean, Bama's best win is that Texas win to start the year, and they should have probably lost that football game. Their next best win is Mississippi State. You couldn't tell me a two-loss team needs to be in over a one-loss, you know, especially with the win over Notre Dame, because that win over Notre Dame is more impressive to me than either one of the two wins against that Bama's got. So, it's hard for me to get fired up. What is interesting to me, and this is the way it's been pretty much every year of the playoff, the BCS would have gotten it right.
True.
We'd have Georgia and Michigan. You know, well, last year we'd had the same two teams that played last year, you know? So, I mean, at the end of the day, the BCS was getting it right. The only year to me that I can even remember that it wasn't, that it was even arguable that they didn't get it right, was that year Auburn went undefeated and Oklahoma went to play USC instead of them and got trucked 55-17 or whatever score was. But guess what? Auburn was probably going to get trucked that game too. So I think it was just to find out who USC was going to drill is really what was going on in that. So that, you know, at the end of the day, it's much ado about nothing. I mean, we are going to be arguing about, does Tulane or Ole Miss or who's the 12th team to get in, and who gives a shit? None of these teams are good enough to win it.
No.
You know, especially going on the road the first week to play. I mean, I just, you know, to me, this is much ado about nothing. We know who the best two teams in the country are. Can we just let them play and find out who the best team is?
I don't know.
You know,
man.
Because Ohio State is going to be a better challenge. I think Michigan's going to drill. Now, look, I think Georgia's going to drill Ohio State too. I'm already on 6.5. But at the end of the day, they're the two best teams. They've proven they're the two best teams. They're coming out of the two best leagues in America. We know who the two best teams are.
Yeah, I would agree. And so, no, I think they got it right. But, hey, let's not talk about that just yet. Let's not look past the fact that two things happened last week. Akron fell short of their 2.5 win total, but gets the cover.
Can you believe that? And they almost got there in that ball game.
Oh, my goodness.
Get on the forehead.
Oh, anyway, so Akron finishes the season 2-2. This is going to be a bet-on team next year, without a doubt, that we're going to be betting us some Akron next year. But let's not go past the Fighting Jerry Kills at New Mexico State, who finished the season 6-6 after having to reschedule a game due to some deaths of some players. And they beat Valparaiso 65-3 to become bowl eligible in what's got to be the first time that I can remember in my lifetime that New Mexico State is going to a bowl. Good for those guys. Fresno State gets it done to win the Mountain West. Troy, still pissed I didn't put that bet in, wins the Sun Belt Conference, rolls right past Coastal Carolina. Ohio falls short in the MAC. Tulane gets it done in fashion against UCF. Clemson 39-10.
Tulane looked really good.
North Carolina looked like dog shit. Like, they looked like they knew Phil Longo was leaving against a Clemson team that benched GJ Ungulele to bring in the future in Cade Klubnik, only to see DJ announce that he's hitting the portal within 5 days of that happening. So, good
Did
weekend.
You see all the quarterbacks in the portal? Leary's in the portal from NC State. I mean, man, there are all kinds of quarterbacks in the portal.
I think.
I mean, it's wild.
There are. I did this.
My man JT Daniels is going for school number four.
There are
back in the portal. I mean,
there's 17 quarterbacks in the portal that were starters on their team at some point this season. I mean, you got two guys in the portal. You got three guys. Is Rattler coming back?
Yeah, Rattler. Yeah, he's coming back.
Okay, so you got two guys in the portal that were Heisman Trophy top five, top 10 front runners in Leary and DJ are both in the portal, and both you had people that were thinking they could win the Heisman Trophy, and they're gone. I mean, it's crazy. There's over 1,000 kids that are in the portal as of we record this on Thursday morning, and that's the reason I'm not going to do a whole lot of bowl predictions at this point in time, because it's going to take me hours just to figure out who's going to be active on some of these rosters and who's going to play. I mean, the guy that was I have no idea. And so it's going to be crazy. It gets down to it. Coaching carousel has started. Jeff Brohm has moved back to Louisville as Satterfield took an exit and he moved over to Cincinnati. And then you got Prime coming from probably making the biggest splash as he leaves Jackson State to go to Colorado to see if he can restore the glory from the McCarthy era that was happened years and years ago.
You and I have talked about this. It's what's wrong with the media in general, but sports media fell right into this with Prime. They had a good sound bite of a minute of his talk to that football team where it's, if you're not willing to work, you need to hit the portal, and they take that. And I saw 20 sports writers retweeting it, clipping it and tweeting it, all of that. Go watch Prime's whole speech. Cause I did. And I know you did too. He gives a great speech.
Yeah.
He leads completely into that, dropping it off that's what he told that football team, as if we're bringing our own dudes in, you need to hit the portal, is all that went in his talk to his football team. And what made me go do it was when the team said, smart, tough, they all responded right off. They were engaged with what Primetime said. You come in and you're a dick. I don't care if you're Primetime or not. These kids are going to be like, whatever, dude. They were fully engaged. I'm like, what did I miss? And then you find out there's like 15 more minutes of the talk that you got to go watch. You're like, wait a minute. He had a really good speech to that team. So I don't think that did it justice. I think Prime's going to do is come in and recruit. What a great hire to go get the Sean, from Kent State, as the offensive coordinator. What a great hire for Prime. I think that's a really good – I am fascinated to see what happens with Jim Leonard, where he ends up. That'll be interesting. I was shocked, North Texas.
Yeah, that was a weird one to me. Seth Petrell.
Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand they went 7-1. I guess they ended up 7-6 after this game. But I'm looking at the schedule. UNLV is the only team they lost to that they probably should have won the football game. And that was early in the year when UNLV was a pretty good football team. I don't know what the hell they're expecting in them. I mean, it's only been a few years ago that they had their old quarterback who was at South Lake Carroll, and they were going 1-11. I mean, Luttrell's done a pretty damn good job, I think. So, I don't know. I don't know what they're looking for. I guess they think that team ought to be winning, but I got a great idea. Don't schedule 3 Power 5 guys if you're expecting the guy to play. You're expecting him to win 10 games. Come on, don't try to make that a cash cow job either as an athletic director. So I was kind of surprised by that. Mike Leach has got a total fiasco going in the NIL right now. Evidently he called a kid after the kid had told him he was leaving. He called him soft. He had won the Tough Guy Award a couple of weeks during the season. I mean, Leach was just pissed. But there's a video of it, and evidently the kid is going to do some sort of Instagram and give his version of what went on because he's gotten some negative blowback. So pretty interesting pretty interesting week overall. The transfer portal, as you know, I hate. They got to fix this. These kids just being able to bail. And this was supposed to be a one-time deal. I mean, JT Daniels about to have his fourth school in 4 years. I mean, it's just a fiasco. I mean, just fix it. You know, I mean, make it look. Coach leaves. You're a fifth-year senior. You want to transfer, take off. Otherwise, you ought to have to sit out of here. Because it will fix some of the recruiting and fix some of the, oh, I got my hand out. You know, what are you going to get me? This NIL deal is a fiasco. I mean, just a complete mess. Just a mess. I mean, you got street agents running around getting these guys. Telling these guys, oh, he's got an offer from Georgia. Man, his ass ain't going to Georgia. You know, it's like, it's unbelievable. And some of these guys, I know what we're paying a kid at State. By the time the kid gets done with Pell Grant and everything, and he's not even remotely the highest paid guy on NIL, this is just an average deal. The kid's going to be making mid $50,000 tax-free with no expenses. The hell do you think that kid's going to get a job doing where he's taking home that kind of money coming out of college? He's not. Is he going to go coach PE? He's going to make 30 grand in Mississippi. You know, and he's going to have expenses. He's going to have bills. I mean, what is going on in college football is not sustainable from a quality of the game perspective, because the Mike Leaches and guys like that are disciplined guys. It's going to be really hard to discipline guys. Because, man, they just hit the road. Nobody puts their head in and goes to work anymore. And it is going to be fascinating to see where college football goes over the next 3 years.
Yeah. And if they've got the balls to try to get in there and change any of it. So I all they really have to do, in my opinion, is to fix it, is just fix the portal. I mean, you give the kid, I understand you give the kid a one-time pass, but it's not going to get any better. And so you go back to saying, look, if you transfer.
Well, you don't get kids picking. Yep. You don't get kids picking schools for the right reasons. And I understand that a lot of these kids don't have parents. I understand, you know, they don't have a father. Like I would tell my son, you know, that we would go and look, man, go pick a college and a coaching staff where you're going to be happy if you blow your knee out and never play football again.
Yeah, but I don't
know. You know, where are you going to go and enjoy college?
Yeah, but
none of those kids do that anymore.
Well, no, but I think.
But it's the way everybody did it.
Well, but I think that's gone. I mean, I think that the Allegiant, you know, we get invested in these players at these schools as fans. And just like anything else, you get emotionally attached to these kids. And then when they leave, you get butthurt about it. We do the same thing about a lot of coaches and things like that. But I don't think these players do that. I mean, it's changed a lot. Because until you've gotten on the field and you've gotten snaps and you've won games and you've fought hard together, even if you're on the team, you're not necessarily invested in the university as like we are as just average Joe fans. In my personal opinion. And I think that's why we see them. And the other thing, too, I think you got kids, and you're right, where the money that comes in over the top of it is they want to get paid. You know, like the kid from Rhode Island that's the tackle transferring. I don't have any problem with that because he's going to end up somewhere. He's going to get some money in his pocket. I think you got some of these kids that are looking at it going like, I don't have a shot to get to the NFL, but, hell, I could go make $100,000 next year if I can play well and get an NIL deal. So I don't know. I've gone back and forth on it. I can just tell you this much. From a gambling perspective, it has made it a lot harder to figure out these rosters, especially as we come into bowl season. Because used to a few years ago, it was, okay, you got to look at motivation. Then you got to look at who's opted out. I'm going to have to go through and look at depth charts now to figure out who's actually going to be on the roster and assuming that they're going to play and go from there. And so there's going to be – I'm going to have to put more work in next week than I probably put in following weeks trying to get ready to bet some bowl games. Because the only four rosters that I think are set and aren't going to change would be the – well, that's not even true. The rosters of the teams that are playing for the national championship, those have changed. I mean, the backup quarterback who started game one at Michigan is in the portal and has announced that he's going to Iowa.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Is that right? That's exactly right.
I mean, J.J. gets hurt for Michigan in that game, and they got to – I mean, you're going to be rolling third stringer into the natty, you know, trying to win that thing. And yeah. So it's interesting.
Which, again, to me is prime example of how big of a fiasco it is that literally you got a kid that doesn't even give a shit enough to stick around and try to win a natty. He's that worried about himself and where he's going. And that's not what football's about. Football's the ultimate team game if you're going to be really successful. And I just think it is, like I said, it certainly ain't going back. There's no putting the genie back in the bottle. But I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good for the quality of the game. You just got guys. You got guys going pro that have no business going pro. I mean, it's just it really, really is not a good deal. And this is not how NIL was envisioned. It's supposed to be because you're good enough to market yourself. So, Mark, this really boils down to, this came about for the guys who were, Olympians and couldn't make money. I understand that Ed O'Bannon and those guys were the guys that went and started it through the suit. But this really called hold because what was the wide receiver at Colorado a few years ago that skied Bogles in the Olympics? And he had turned down like a $2.5 million endorsement deal for skiing to play college football.
Jeremy
Blue. And that stuff like that's stupid, And those, they should be able to get paid. Pat Forty's a writer. His daughter's a big swimmer. She could go. Katie Ledecky was swimming at Stanford after she'd already won a gold medal. Actually, I think a few gold medals. Those kids ought to get paid, But that we're just taking kids and just blanketly paying them because, you're on the football team. We're going to give you $1,000 a month or whatever the number is at some of these schools. That's insane. That's not name, image, and likeness. That's just paying kids. So, hell, let's make them employees. Let's fix some of the problems that are out there.
Oh, buddy. All right, that's enough about how we feel about things. Now we're going to talk about some actual gambling that we got this weekend. Scotty, we got three things we want to talk about. We want to talk about look-aheads for bowls, look-ahead for the natty, see if you got any plays that are in there, kind of what our strategy is when we get into those types of things. But we want to talk about the Army-Navy game. Maybe one of the greatest games of two teams that are not very good that everybody in the country should be watching on Saturday. This game is going to be played in Philadelphia. It kicks off at 3 o'clock Eastern, which I think is fantastic that it's the only game of the day. The weather deteriorates as the day goes on normally, but it looks like we're going to have some clear weather. But what everybody's talking about in the media is the trend that this game has gone under 16 times in a row. And the over-under number opened at 33.5. It's fallen down to 32.5. Navy is laying 2.5 points in this game. When you look at this game, what is your first inclination on how you're going to play this thing?
Man, it is hard not to, because, hell, I think we've bet the under a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
The last few years. And this game is so wild, it always boils down to a play or two. Navy went through that stretch where they were winning and they were obviously the better program. Well, they win 10 or 11 in a row, something like that.
Yeah.
But they won a bunch of games or 11 out of 12 or whatever it was, where they had that long streak. But a lot of years, it feels like that first time that Army won this game and broke that streak, they weren't the better team that day. It comes down to a play or two every time. And that just feels like an under. But I look at this Army run defense, and they're giving up over 5 yards a carry. I don't think they'll do that Saturday, but I mean, they can still be had. And if you give up, both these offenses are capable of getting an explosive play in the passing game because they load up so much to stop the run. It's timing about the play calling, all of that. It just makes me think that Navy is going to cover this number. You look at the betting, and I think everybody's taking the underdog. I think Navy may get it done and win the ball game. But, man, you look, and there's a lot of years. You think 32.5 is a low number. I don't know, man. I see a lot of years they've been under 30. I mean, heck, they've been under 20 sometimes. So it's this is a this. Most of these games are a 21-7 or a 17-14 kind of game. And I think that's what we're going to get again. I think that's, they're 10, 13-10, stuff like that. It's rarely touchdowns. A lot of times they don't finish drives. They finish them with a field goal. I think that's what we get again. It'd be hard to go over, but I do think Navy's going to cover. Generally, when this game goes over, if it gets to 40 points, somebody's blown somebody out. You know, I think the last time Army lost in a big – last time they went into the 40s, I think it was 34-7, if I remember correctly from looking at these stats. 34-7 Navy drilled Army. So, I mean, these games are in the 30s. It's going to be right around this number.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's combined, these two teams played five games where they had 0 yards passing for the entire game, which is really hard to do. And so when you're looking at this, I like the under with you here.
And another one where Army had 11.
It's true, the big 11-yard pass that was in there. So, I mean, Army's, yeah, both of these teams are going to run the ball. They've run very similar offenses. They're very familiar with each other. There's not a whole lot of chances taken in these games either. It's a lot of grind, a lot of middle-of-the-field type stuff. And you rarely – and when you talk about seeing a big play, it's got to be a complete blown assignment because there's not enough breakaway speed on either one of these teams that you're going to see a big run. I like Navy here. I like Navy minus two and a half. I think they get it done. They've been kind of on the schneid the last few years against Army. I think they get it done this year. I like Navy laying 2.5 probably more than I like anything else in this one. In the under perspective, the way I'm going to bet it is I'm going to take two units. I'm going to bet one on the game, and I'm going to break the other one up in every quarter and half. And I'm just going to go under, with thoughts being one of those is going to hit somewhere along the line. So I'm going to go under 7.5 in the first quarter, under 16.5 for the halftime, and then I'm just going to stack it under 23.5 and then under 32.5. So I'm going to go completely under on that. So I'm going to play three units on this, one on the total. I'm going to break one up into four parts, and then I'm going to throw one on Navy minus 2.5 in this one. So the old bet the favorite and the under
like
doesn't happen very often because that is not correlated as far as you know. Looking ahead at some of the bowls, I like the favorites. I like the chalk in both of the semifinal games. And those semifinal games in years past have not been very good. They've been blowouts. But the Georgia-Ohio State game is really interesting to me. I mean, you look at this, and I thought the committee got it right in not putting TCU in that spot and making them play the one seed. I think either way, I think they're going to win. But I just think that they got it right and it's not saying, hey, you're in, but we're going to make Ohio State, who didn't even play for their conference championship, come in here and do this spot. So I think Georgia's going to – I mean, Jackson Smith and Jigba's already out. I am not 100% convinced that Ryan Day was not born on third base and he just likes running home. They haven't beaten a good team in 2 years for the most part. And, I mean, other than that, you know, and so I like this – I like where we're going with this on the chalk on the semifinal games. The other games I'm really going to have to dig into because there's some interesting games. Troy-UTSA I think could be a fantastic game in the Cure Bowl next Friday. I think the Louisville-Cincy game's interesting only because of the coaching element that's there. The Vegas Bowl, Oregon State against Florida. Anthony Richardson already opted out. The quarterback, because he's going pro. Who the hell is going to draft Anthony Richardson, by the way?
I want to know who the scout is. Do you see this? They quoted some scout who compared him to Cam Newton.
What?
Who the hell thinks he can throw half as good as Cam Newton could? Do you need to fire whoever the hell that scout is? Because he doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, seriously, have you ever seen Anthony Richardson throw the football like Cam Newton did in the second half of that Alabama game when he came back and won that ball game? Because they were down a couple of touchdowns, and he had a fabulous second half against Bama on the road in Tuscaloosa. That's when the music guy got fired for playing Son of a Preacher Man or whatever it was on the PA at Bama. But anyway, so that's probably more than most people care about, which I thought was funny even back then. But Cam Newton could throw the football. Richard, what did he have, like 14 passes the other night he didn't complete? You got to try to do that.
I don't – and not that it's funny, Florida, how fired up were they to be in this game? This game opened minus 5.5, bumped to 7, and then their backup quarterback's in jail. So he's not playing either.
Yes. For child porn.
Yeah. So he's off. I mean, this roster is starting
to
look
like... It's not like he got caught shoplifting.
This is starting to look like an Urban Meyer-esque roster that they're putting together. But Florida was good then, so we'll see. But I like Oregon State. I think they're super excited to be here. They're going to be very physical in this spot.
Yeah, they're going
to
kill them.
I think the over-under in the Fresno State-Washington game sails over the total in this one. Michael Penix Jr., he's coming back. He's already announced. And Jake Haener is
now, these
fantastic.
Are the bowl games that I like. These are the bowl games I like because Haener almost went to Washington. You got Fresno's own coach up there. You got Penix coming back. This could be a fun bowl game.
Yeah, 100%.
And I don't think there'll be any lack of motivation on either side to play well. Like, you know those Fresno guys want to get some of the bowler. I mean, you know they do.
Oh, yeah.
And they're pissy left. I mean, I think this guy seems to be a really fun game.
What about UConn getting 11 against Marshall? I mean, how excited are you if you're UConn to get into a bowl game? I mean, you talk about coach of the year. Jim Moore Jr., dude.
What about the how long is it going to be before that Iowa line gets in the 20s?
Oh boy. Iowa is
Are either one of those teams going to dress a quarterback out? I mean, they may just have to go Wildcat the whole game.
If I line up
that game, what's that line down? Down to like 31.5 or 32?
32 currently. No, it's dropped again.
Game makes it in the.
It's 31. It's 31.
Yeah. If that game makes it to the 20s, I'm taking the under just on principle. Just to say I did. That is fabulous.
Yeah, that's an interesting.
I thought I was going to get me a little action with Purdue and then Brom Bales. I thought that was a bowl game that I might could get some of. That was the what was that? That was the Music City, right?
Yeah.
Where Purdue is. I think I'll be fascinated to see what Illinois does to Mississippi State. I think that game will be extremely low scoring. States, both their backs have hit the portal. Several guys say they're going pro, but are going to play in the bowl game. Most of the defensive guys actually came back, which is kind of surprising. So I think that's going to be a low scoring game. Don't know what State's going to be able to do. They lost two good receivers, Avion and Ra-Ra Thomas, both hit the portal. So I'll be interested to see what they do. I think they'll take a step back on offense. You're already playing a really good defense. I think you got an under bet right there.
100%. And then the other one I think is interesting, I want to bet Tulane against USC because I have no idea. I mean, there's no way Caleb Williams is going to play in this game. And he is a complete difference maker for USC. So I know that, and I would be surprised if a lot of these guys on this USC roster are going to opt out before we get to this bowl game to go to the NFL. The whole receiving corps is going to, if I had to make a guess. And the defense is atrocious. And Tulane's coming in here. They've got to be excited. And they play defense. I mean, I think it'll be a nut grabber in that one. So, yeah, next week we'll break down the bowls. We'll do one podcast trying to get us all the way up to the national championship games and the January 1 games. And then we'll roll over to the following week to get those in as well. But I like the bowl slate. Top to bottom, I think it's actually pretty interesting. There's a lot of pretty good games in here that are going to be worth watching. And so I would recommend, if you have not tried to make some money in bowls, first thing I would do is go look at the local beat writers for all these different schools. You can figure out, see if you can make sure you know who is going to play, who isn't going to play, because sometimes that information does not get published because it doesn't have to come out. And then just make sure you actually know are your key players still on the roster and what's going to be there. Because like the Air Force Baylor game to me, Baylor's laying 6.5 against this Air Force team. This is an Air Force team that I think underperformed. But I really, if that line pops to 7, I'm taking Air Force. Because I just have a hard time believing that Baylor is going to be motivated to take the 15 extra practices they got after as bad as they were this season to get fired up to put a defense together against the option, which they're not going to see again next year. And I can't, you know, and that's a hard time. It's hard to get ready for that if you don't want to, you know, week in, week out. So that's my take on that. You got any
look? Are your Bears, going to be able to get Jim Leonard?
Man, I hope
so. Because didn't he coach Leonard at Wisconsin?
He coached, and he also I don't think he coached him. He was on the staff when they were there. Leonard was his.
Oh, they were both on staff.
Yeah,
okay.
Aranda was.
I know they've got a tie. I just couldn't remember what it was.
I'm seeing rumors that Leonard's going to go to Nebraska as the defensive coordinator, and man, Nebraska, Matt Rhule. I hope he fixes it, but golly, Nebraska's been a dumpster fire, and so.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense.
But that being said, Scotty, that's all I got this week, man. I will be locked and loaded Saturday to watch the march in, watch all the revelry that goes on with it. You've been to the game. I mean, what time do you typically get into the game?
They bring them into the stadium so early that I was not there for that. I did go in Philly, which you won't hear me say go to Philly very much for anything, but I think that is the best place to watch this game. They got some bars and stuff that are down by the stadium. We were partaking of that pregame pretty early. But you go to the stadium and begin the walk around pretty early just because you want to see it. And what is cool is it's the pageantry. It's everything that's there. And, man, you're seeing all kinds of people. I mean, you're seeing Medal of Honor winners. I mean, it is wild. I mean, they got helicopters, they've got tanks, they got all kinds of stuff out there on the, you know, in the parking lot for you to look at, right up by the stadium. The pregame on CBS Sports Network starts like 5 hours before the game. It's like a Super Bowl lead up. They're interviewing all these dudes. I mean, Roger Staubach, you're seeing political people. Just, there's all, I mean, it is really cool. And just how much, you know, how intense it is really, really cool. And these guys just are playing on a totally different level for anybody who's not been. And Mark, we have got to get up there. You need to go one time if you're a huge college football fan.
Oh, yeah.
It is truly something to behold.
I would love to get up there. I have not had a chance to yet, but it's on my bucket list. And so I've got one more kid to get out of high school, and then I got a tremendous amount of free time on my hands. Yeah, I mean, I've already – my daughter at Tech has already – my daughter at Tech has already hit me up. Just like, Dad, did you see we play Oregon next year? And I was like, yeah, I saw that. So, I got to start making my schedules look right. But, yeah, it's a great game. I love that everything it stands for. I love that it doesn't get political, that they just come out. These guys play ball. For a lot of these kids, this will be the last game they ever play.
Yep.
Most of these kids, it'll be the last game they ever play. And then most of these kids are going to get deployed in some form or fashion when they get to the end of their school year and they graduate either in December or May. So it's a fantastic event. I encourage everybody to sit and watch it. If you got any kids that enjoy the game, this is one you definitely got to get locked and loaded and watch. So, Scotty, with that being said, my friend, enjoy the game this weekend from your deer stand. Hopefully nobody gets the flu. We will be back next week. We'll be dropping our first bowl podcast probably either Wednesday night or Thursday night. And we look forward to you being with us. Hit us up on Twitter. And for those of you out there that went ahead and got your Michigan 22-1 or 25-1 ticket to win the Natty, we got one more win, and then we can figure out if we're going to hedge this son of a bitch or what we're going to do with it, because it's going to take my family on a nice vacation if Michigan somehow pulls off the upset and goes and wins the Natty this season. Scott, it's been fun, brother, and I will talk to you next week.